Hey, good morning, Northwoods. Welcome to the last regular service of the year 2021.
That is crazy. I can hardly believe it. In some ways, I feel like this year was very fast. And in other ways, it was like the longest year of my life.
Yeah. So. Still caught like somewhere in the middle yet. The year is not quite over, so give it some time.
Yeah. And so next weekend, that means we have the Christmas production.
That's right.
That's crazy. The show opens on Friday, December 17th. Oh my goodness. It runs through the 23rd and we're pumped.
Yeah.
Trey has been busy like leading vocal rehearsals.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a lot of fun. The choir nerd in you is going to love it. And if you aren't a choir nerd, I'm sure you'll still love it too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So if you haven't gotten your tickets yet to join us in person, we would love for you to be here. I can tell you this, it's worth the drive.
Oh my goodness, absolutely. And we don't take Christmas lightly around here.
No, we don't.
All out. And then probably just a little bit more after that.
Yeah. No.
If you've never been to a Northwoods Christmas production, you want to make sure that this is your year.
Oh,
and we're not
sure.
just having it like at Christmas here on campus, right?
Yeah.
We're also going to have another opportunity for people to be able to join us online too, specifically for our online family.
Yeah, and it's gonna be great too. We'll have some more information for you on exactly what date and time that show's gonna be available, but basically we're gonna have a special online premiere. I think there's even gonna be some fun like behind the scenes information that you'll get, which will be super fun. And then from there on out, it's just gonna be available on demand for you to watch absolutely whenever you want, however many times you want.
Exactly.
You know? So it's going to be so, so fun. Yeah. I'm so excited.
And speaking of fun,
I
mean, we've got another opportunity for you guys to join us online on December 26th.
Yes, the day after Christmas. So even though this is our last regular weekend service, it is not our last weekend service for the year. We have our church at home weekend, which this is giving me flashbacks. We did garage church your house during COVID. So, and it was so fun. We got together as a small group with our friends and we did church together and we had a blast.
Oh my goodness. I wish we could still do that. Not that I've ever wished COVID back, but you know.
Yeah, and even last year for our church at home weekend, our group of friends, we had a cereal bar.
Yeah.
Everyone brought a different kind of cereal and we watched the weekend service together. There were times for discussion and so we got to talk through John's message and we have some of those same pieces of that service for you this weekend, but all new teaching from Pastor John about the Holy Spirit is good stuff. So.
And there's going to be some stuff in there too, even just for our kids. It's not just going to be like a service where, you know, the adults get to watch their stuff and the kids, you just go play with your iPad or something. Like, there's some special stuff specifically in there for our Discoveryland kids. And I think this is really just going to create an awesome opportunity for families just to get to sit around together and enjoy some teaching.
Yes.
And as always, do the same things you usually do. You know, grab your hot cocoa, grab your hot coffee, whatever it is you might need that day. And just join church from the comfort of your own couch.
For sure. So for church on the 26th, for the production online, we just encourage you to do that in community. Invite people into your home and just do life together, experience church together, grow on your journey together. It's so fulfilling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, what's also fun and what's also community building is your favorite thing.
Yeah, of course. My favorite thing that is...
Joining the chat.
Joining the chat. want to say it? I'll go for it.
Okay.
If you haven't already, make sure you hop in the chat. Let us know where you're tuning in from, what you're doing. I mean, we were just talking about cereal. What's your favorite cereal type?
There you go.
I mean, if anybody has any extra Crave laying around here, I know that's one of my go-tos. Oh, it's so good. It's like,
we can talk about
different story. But make sure that you join us. Let us know where you're coming in from. And if you're brand new,
yes, we would love for you to pull out your phone right now and text the word new to that number on your screen. That'll put you in communication with me. We can meet. I can answer questions that you have. And I'd just love to get to know you a little bit better.
Right. And if you've been around the block a few times, you probably know where we're going to say or what we are going to say next. And that is to fill out the
connection card.
That's right. So you old timers, go ahead, fill that out. Let us know that you're joining at our online campus. If you have a prayer need or you've got anything else, you've got a dad joke. Sometimes we throw those out there in the Canton campus in our connection card. Let us know. fill out in the comment section and then just say, hey, I'm here. I'm joining online with our online family.
Absolutely. And if you have any prayer requests, our team is standing by. We'd love to pray with you over any needs that you have today in your life. But I think, man, we're just excited, right? It's the end
of the
year. We're going to do some Christmas carols today. So if you're ready for just worship and Christmas songs and all of the best things, crank up those speakers because Northwoods Online starts right now.
At that time, The Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who now was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the flocks nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find the baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let us go to Bethlehem. Let us see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was given the name Jesus, the name given to him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses after a birth of the child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present Jesus to the Lord. At Northwoods, child blessings are a way for parents to seek God's blessing while making a public commitment to raise their children according to God's plan. Just as Jesus was presented before the Lord, these families want to dedicate and bless their children today.
Thanks, Chris. Chris is our children's pastor here at Northwoods. And like he said, we're going to bless some children today. And so if you guys want to come out with it's Otto, right? You say Otto? Yeah. Last time I told the first service this. Last time I did child blessings, I kind of got put on the spot because my dad was the one doing them. And so they said, "We don't know where your dad is. Just go up and start doing them." I don't know if it was at the 11 o'clock, but I started and I was two children in, and my dad came running out from behind the curtain saying, "Hold up, I'm supposed to be doing those." And so I want to let you know he's not behind the curtain this morning. Okay. He's actually in Ohio at his home church. But here we have a little Otto. And how old did you say Otto was?
4 months.
4 months. Wow, he's just a little guy. 4 months. You know, Otto can actually mean wealth or riches. I was looking that up this week. And, you know, Paul talked about in the Bible the unsearchable riches of Christ. And so we've just been praying for you, Otto, that you would come to know the spiritual riches that are in Jesus Christ. And so we bless you today, Otto. Lord, bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. There you go. Yep, and you guys can go right over there. Here we go. And this is little Miss Sophia. Looking cute today. I like the hair, the dress. I like it all. Sophia, you're 2 years old, right? Yep. She's two, right? Yep. Okay. I like your dress, Sophia. No, Sophia can actually mean, I was looking that up this week, wisdom. And we know that Jesus grew.
Want to come over here?
Okay. Grew in wisdom and in stature. And so I've been praying for you, Sophia, that you would just have that same wisdom in you. That Lord would bless you with wisdom. And so we pray his blessing over you. Lord, bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. All right. And then next we got little Charlie here. How old did you tell me Charlie was again?
4.5 months.
Wow. I got a 1-year-old, so this wasn't long ago for me either. 4 months, there we go. And this is Charlie. And Charlie, actually, if you look it up, it means free man. And you know, we talk a lot about forgiveness and freedom here at Northwoods. And so, Charlie, we're praying that not only would you come to know Jesus as the one who forgives your sins, there you go, but also the one who sets us free from the power of sin in our lives. And so we pray blessing over you. Lord, bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. There you go, buddy. Oh, I always like that mom and dad are close, right? And then this is Cameron, right? Cameron, 10 months. Can I hold you, Cameron? Is that okay? I think he's good with that. I think he's still trying to figure out if he's good with that. You know, Cameron, obviously a pretty popular name. I thought it was interesting that if you look up Cameron in some places, in olden times, they would give the name Cameron if a child had almost, there was a crooked feature on the child. There's nothing crooked on this guy. But as I was thinking about that, you know, in the Bible it says that the Lord makes crooked paths straight. And so as I was praying for you even this week, that you would come to know the Lord as the one who makes your paths straight. And so, Cameron, we just pray blessing over you. Lord, bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face towards you and give you peace. There you go.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, church, if you now would stand, let's just extend a hand toward these families, you know, parenting little ones, it can be overwhelming at times if you've had them before. And so we just want to pray strength and endurance for these parents, wisdom as they're parenting, but also over these children. So Lord, I thank you for every single family represented here today. We pray your blessing over them. Lord, I pray over these parents. I pray in those moments as they're parenting that you give them wisdom in their parenting, Lord. I pray just fresh strength for them today, Lord. And I always think about that verse in the Bible of another person, King Josiah. It says that even while he was young, he began to seek the Lord. And so I pray that same spirit would be in these children, that even while they're young, they would begin to seek the Lord. We pray your blessing over them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's sing together.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinner reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. While he lays his glory by, born that men no more might die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Thank you.
Let's bow our heads together. Let's pray. God, again, we are so grateful for your love for us, your grace in our lives. And as we reflect on even the song that I was just thinking about that, Lord, how I have been singing these songs my entire life. And they're as true today as they were then, and they're so meaningful to us. On that silent night when you just crashed into this world and changed everything and made everything new and better and give us the sense of hope and the reality of salvation and freedom and all the things that you promised in your word. It's all because of you, Jesus. And really, everything that we're doing today is because of you. And we worship you. We thank you. We bless your name. We thank you for the love that you give to us, the grace that you extend to us. Even on this day, many of us, including myself, have not really thought a whole lot about all the goodness, even today, that you've given to us. So we thank you for that as well. Bless us together as we meet, as we hear the word, that we would receive it. And God, may this season of celebrating your advent be better than ever. So we ask all of this in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, you may be seated, and as you are, welcome. If we haven't met, my name's Gary, and it's just great to welcome each of you, those of you as well that are joining us online for this very special weekend service. And if you're new to Northwoods, maybe this is your first time here, we would love to meet you. So please, you can certainly text to us. You can reach out to us, and we would love to hear from you. And if you have any questions, please send those our way. But we just want to say hello and welcome you. For all the rest of us that maybe have been around here for some of us many, many years, go ahead and use that connection card feature on the app and just let us know you're here, as well as extend any questions you may have or prayer desires. Much to pray for this time of year, certainly. And we want to be a part of that with you. Well, we're excited, aren't we, that we are just a week away or less, actually, from hosting our Christmas production, our Christmas services here at Northwoods. Are you excited about that? Come on. Yeah, we all should be. And it was a heartbreaker, wasn't it, last year when we had to forego that. So we're very, very excited to be able to do that. And, you know, every year I sit out there just like you all, and I watch what happens up here at times, and I'm just amazed at the talent. And even to see this amazing structure that's here and all the things that go on behind the scenes, it's just an incredible thing for all of us to participate and get to enjoy. But the reality is there's so much that happens behind the scenes that make the production as great as that can be. From the point in time when our community and our friends and family pull into our parking lots and navigate through the facility, find a place to sit, all of that, we want to provide excellence and assistance. If you would love to be a part of the team that's making a difference in Peoria and beyond, we would love to invite you to at least consider serving this year. We need assistance in the parking team, as well as ushers and greeters and so forth. And we really, it's a difficult season of time for some to volunteer, and we understand that. But also, many of you may have some time available, even just one. It's not a lifetime service. Just sign up for us one time, and you'll make a big difference. So if you are interested in that and you would like to do that, we want to assure you we're going to train you. We want you to serve confidently and feel comfortable. And we'll feed you if you need a meal. We'll have food available around those service times as well. So just reach out to us. You can go to northwoods.christmas. You can use the connection card feature on the app. You can stop by our information desk. If you see me around later on, you can and just grab me. I know that works. I just proved it after the first service. So whatever works for you, just reach out to us, and we would love to host you as a volunteer. And then as a reminder, our tickets have been going out. Some of the services have already released all those, but continue to search, and some of the services still have tickets available. It's all online this year, and please take advantage of that. Invite your friends and family, as you always do, and it's going to be a great year. Now, as we look ahead next Sunday, we will be into our Christmas shows, so we won't have our regular services on the 19th. But then as we look ahead to the 26th, we will all be together online. So don't be here. Don't come to the church on the 26th. Rather, we will be together and enjoying a service together online. So go to northwoods.online. You can find the service there. And that, again, will be an amazing experience to do that on Christmas weekend together. And then also, as we flip the calendar and look towards next year, early in January, we will again have a New Year's fast, as well as a season of prayer and scripture reading together. And it's going to be a fantastic opportunity over a 21-day period to do that together. And we're going to be journeying through Psalm 119 together, which, if you're familiar with it, you know it's the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's rich with God's truth and his principles for our lives today. So it's going to be fantastic to do that together. So be preparing for that, and you'll be able to engage with that with the rest of our faith community here at Northwoods. And also, just the last thing I want to speak to you about is year-end giving. And as we approach the end of this month, we all realize there's some IRS regulations that play into how we give and when we give it. So if you are planning to make any donation, it needs to be postmarked. If you're using the mail, get it here before December 31. That would be great. Many times we have some of us that want to give things, other, you know, assets, maybe it's stocks or other things. You can do that as well, but we would want you to navigate that with our business office, and you can reach out to them at, email them at giving@northwoods.church, and you can have your questions answered there. So some of those things can be a little bit trickier than just cash or giving digitally online. So anyway, thank you for your giving in general. This has been a great year of giving, and it makes all of our ministries, both here in Peoria, our campuses, as well as around the world, possible. So it's making a difference no matter how small you give or how large. Thank you for your faithfulness. Well, it's enough from me, so let's now turn our attention back into the service.
It's good to be together again this week as we finish out our Ten Commandments series. And, you know, you can see, we talked about this last week. You can just see how the set for the Christmas production has been coming together. I mean, we have an incredible team of people, not only on our staff, but here in this church that come together to make all of this possible. And, you know, I told the first service, I really would love to go up on top and preach today. That would be pretty cool. Everything in me wants to go up there right now, but I won't do that. But I want to take a moment, just because as we see all of this again with the Christmas production coming, to pray in just a moment. Now, the first show will be this Friday night, the 17th, and just a reminder, once the show starts, it's going to go all the way to the 23rd, and next Sunday, which is the 19th, it's going to be the Christmas show. So there'll be shows at 10, 2, and 7. So we won't have services at 9 and 11 like we regularly do. Next Sunday, it will be the Christmas show at 10, 2, and 7. So just kind of keep that in your mind as you're thinking about next Sunday, if that's when you plan on coming. But again, let's just stop and pray here for a moment. And again, I said this last week, and I want to say it again. Oftentimes, when we look at think about the Christmas show, the Christmas production, we can think that, like, yeah, the production is what, like, the people who are, you know, the cast and the crew, it's what they do. But I just want to remind you, no, the production is what we do. Like, if you are involved here at Northwoods, if you are an attender here, you are a part of this church, the production is something we do together. This is something all of us do, because this is our heart, to see people reached for Jesus Christ and to make much of his birth. And so one of the ways we partner is through prayer. And then let me just say one other thing before we pray, because there might be some of us who are wondering, and I've had people outside of this church ask me about the production, like, you guys still doing that? And I say, yes. And some of them say, you know, like, really, you're still going to have a production? Like, You're going to invite all those people in around Christmas. Like, what if people get sick? You know, all the different things could happen. And I just want to remind you, church, one of the things that has stuck in my mind last year in 2020, and my dad said it, and it stuck with me, is that the safest place we can be is doing what God has called us to do. And so we really believe this is what God has called us to do, and is to make much of his birth. And you know, he put this Christmas production, this Christmas show in the heart of our leadership many, many years ago. And so we're gonna keep doing what God has called us to do. So let's just pray for a moment in advance of the Christmas production. Let's just join our hearts in prayer. Lord, again, we thank you for everyone who is involved. And we thank you that this is something we get to do this Christmas, is to make much of your birth, Jesus. And so we pray in advance that you would just be summoning people, that you would be drawing people to yourself. We pray that through this production, Lord, that there would be many who would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, we pray over every single person in the cast, crew, volunteering, serving, every person that walks through these doors, we just pray your health, your peace, and your joy. And we give it all to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, as we're thinking about this last commandment, I came across a story this week. Pretty crazy story. You can actually look this up. On November 16th, 1930, a woman named Mrs. Henrietta Garrett, a lonely 81-year-old widow, died in her home in Philadelphia and unwittingly started a fantastic case of inheritance litigation. At the time of her death, she had failed to leave a will for the transfer of her $17 million estate. Now, I put an inflation calculator on that this week. So $17 million in 1930 would be $281 million in 2021 dollars. So she got a lot of money. At the time of her death, Mrs. Garrett had only one known relative, a second cousin, and a handful of friends. And when it was found not only how much her estate was worth, but also that there was no will, there were 26,000 people who came out of the woodwork from 47 states, 29 foreign countries, that submitted claims on that inheritance. In their efforts to obtain a share of her estate, people committed perjury, faked family records, changed their name, altered family Bibles. In fact, in Germany, a man who shared Henrietta's maiden name shot his uncle and aunt because they would not fund his trip to America to claim the fortune. In the end, 10 people received jail sentences, 2 committed suicide, and 3 were murdered. But perhaps, I was thinking about this week, perhaps all were guilty of breaking the 10th commandment. If you've been with us, you know that through the last couple of months, we've been walking through the 10 commandments. And today we finish out this series by looking at the 10th and final commandment. And again, the 10 commandments are found in 2 different places in the Bible, Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And Exodus 20:17, which records the 10th commandment, says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Now, just so there's no confusion, it says covet, not COVID. You know, in 2021, some might translate that to say, "Do you shall not COVID your neighbor's house, shall not COVID your neighbor's wife." Listen, okay, you probably shouldn't do that either. But just so there's no confusion, let's read the 10th commandment. So we're talking about coveting, but just so there's no confusion on what we mean by coveting, because it's not necessarily a word that, you know, we use it, but not a lot. Let's read the 10th commandment in Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5. Sometimes it's helpful if you're looking at the 10 commandments to look at both commandments in both places to see if there's anything that maybe the other one of them adds. So in Deuteronomy 5, it says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." So Deuteronomy switches out the word covet with the word desire. So we're really getting at desires here. In fact, the Hebrew word habad, which we translate covet, means to desire or take pleasure in. Now, a couple of things I want to point out when it comes to desiring or desiring, you know, what someone else has. Number one, I was thinking about this also as I was preparing. This, to me, it would seem from God's word that God is not a proponent of communism, where the state owns everything. I think this shows that God believes in privately owned property. Why should you not desire your neighbor's house? Because it's theirs. It belongs to them. They own it. And then also when it comes to desires, let's be clear, God is not against you having desires. Okay, God is not saying through this commandment that you should never desire anything, okay? We're not Buddhist. Buddhism would say that, you know, you get rid of all these cravings, you have zero desires, and that's, you know, that's, you're good then, right? But that's not what the Bible's teaching here. God is saying, in fact, the Hebrew word for covet is neutral, meaning it can be used in a good sense or a bad sense. For example, let me give you a couple other places that the Hebrew word habad is used in a good sense. Okay, Song of Songs, buckle up here for a minute, okay? Like an apple tree, among the trees of the forest is my beloved among the young men. I delight, that's the Hebrew word habad there. I delight to sit in his shade, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. Yikes. So here, desire is used in a good sense. In this case, it's a desire for sexual intimacy. In the proper context, marriage, the desire for sexual intimacy is a good thing. It's a good desire. Another example, David speaking about God's word says this, they are more precious than gold. So sometimes in the Psalms, you'll see it talks about, you know, his statutes, his precepts, his ordinances, promises, and all these kind of words kind of refer to different facets of God's word. So he's saying they are more precious. That word precious, that's the word, Hebrew word habad, than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. So in this instance, it's the desire for God and his word that is called good. Other places we see women praying for children, and that's listed. It's considered a good thing. Proverbs encourages us to plan and to work hard. So I think we could also say that desire for financial advancement is not automatically a wrong desire. So I want you to hear, God is not saying it's wrong to desire. What he is saying is it's wrong to desire wrong things or to desire right things in the wrong way. So let me say that again. It's wrong to desire wrong things or right things in the wrong way. Okay, so to help you kind of flesh out what, let's help us flesh out what I'm saying here, let's walk through that passage in Exodus again. And as we walk through it, I'll kind of translate in that into what that might sound like today. So you shall not covet your neighbor's house. Kind of be like, man, I'm tired of living in this neighborhood. This place is a dump. I wish I had Uncle Bill's house. Got those heated floors in the kitchen, you know, in-ground pool with the hot tub attached. Man, you know, he's got a town that cares about plowing the roads in winter. Why can't I have his house? And it says, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. I wish I'd married Tom's wife. She's gorgeous. Why can't my wife age like that? And I wonder what it'd be like to be with her for a night. Now, if you're wondering why there's no mention of your neighbor's husband here, it's probably because not too many people wanted those. Not really a market for them. Sister, you can have my husband. I don't want him. But if it was listed, it'd probably sound like this. You know, look at Bob. He can fix anything. He's a spiritual leader in his home. He's emotionally there for his wife. He cooks. How did I get stuck with Ted? Why can't I have Bob? Or you might even look at the person who's married to Bob and say, how did Linda land him? Really? Like, why not me? Then it says, or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey. So, for example, maybe you run a business. It might sound like all my employees are all garbage. No initiative. Can't solve problems on their own. Why can't I have Jim's employees? My car's junk. How come Lisa always has the nicest model? Why does Sophie always get to take awesome vacations? Every time I look, she's in, you know, the Grand Canyon or Hollywood or Disney World. You know, I'm lucky if I get to go to Grandma's house. Then it says, or anything that is your neighbor's. Might sound like, you know, I wish I had their parents. I wish, you know, their parents will just drop everything at the snap of a finger and come babysit their kids. Why won't my parents come babysit my kids at the snap of a finger? Wish I had their parents. You know how this person gets so many followers on Instagram? I'm over here with 500 followers and they ain't got nothing to say and I got something to say, but they got 10,000 followers on Instagram. Why can't I have their influence? See, in those examples, so let's talk about like desiring someone's house. Desiring someone else's house is desiring the wrong thing. Why? Because it's theirs. It's not yours. Now, it's okay to desire a house like theirs, or maybe you see some of how they design something in their house and say, man, I really liked how they did that. I'd love to do something similar over here. That's okay. But to desire their house, that's desiring the wrong thing. It's not yours, it's theirs. Desiring a spouse is a good thing. In fact, Proverbs talks about he who finds a wife finds a good thing. I've even heard guys who kind of give their, you know, their wives, you know, sometimes you might give your significant others, you know, kind of a pet name like Sugar or something like that. I've heard guys who have given their wife the name, a pet name, my good thing, out of this Bible passage, right? She's my good thing. So I want you to understand the desire for a spouse is a good desire. It's a right desire. But that desire becomes wrong when your heart becomes desirous of someone else's spouse. Why? Because it's their spouse and not yours. God has not ordained that spouse for you if they're married to someone else. So that would be an example of desiring a right thing in the wrong way. It's good, it's right to desire a spouse, but don't let your heart desire someone else's spouse. Now, what's tricky here is all these desires tend to reside in our heart. Now, they might eventually lead to an outward action, but coveting starts as a desire in the heart. So sometimes it can be hard to know if we've let our desires cross the boundary into maybe a dangerous desire or a wrongful desire. So to help us diagnose this, let's talk about how you would know or how we would know if we are coveting. You know, you've heard like comedians talk about, you know, you might be a redneck if. Okay, let me say this, you might be coveting if, okay? And I'll give you a few of these. So you might be coveting if you can't celebrate the wins of others. Coveting will keep us in a place of never being able to celebrate when something goes right for someone else. If you have little children, you've seen little children do this all the time. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I had our two daughters, Ariana, who's 5, and Joanna, who's 3. We had them in an 8-week swimming class. And so Joanna was in kind of level 0, which is the beginner's class, and she's doing a great job. Like, she's almost swimming now by the end of this thing. But Joanna was in level 0. Ariana was in level 1, a little bit more advanced. So they finish up their 8-week classes, and on the night they finish, you know, they give them these little certificates. And so I take Joanna's certificate and I say, wow, Joanna, I'm so proud of you. Here's your certificate. Look at this. It says you passed and you get to go on to level 1. That's so awesome. Great job, Joanna. Here's your certificate. And she's like, you know, you can see it. She's just like, yeah, I'm excited. Then I take Ariana's certificate. Say, Ariana, wow, I'm so proud of you. Here's your certificate. It says you passed and you get to go to level 2. That's so exciting. And as soon as Joanna heard level two, there's a meltdown on the pool deck, right? There's other parents around, so I'm like, let's get out of here right now, please. But Joanna starts, you know, she's excited about one, but as soon as she hears Ariana's in two, it's, why can't I be in level two? Well, I'm like, Joanna, I'm, well, you know, you were zero, now you're one. No, why can't I be in level two? Why does Ariana get to be in level two and I don't? And so it automatically goes from being excited about what, where she was at, but as soon as she hears what someone else has had, what, where someone else has, maybe a little bit better, I'm not good with that. Now, we get this, little children do that, but I have found this isn't something only three-year-olds do. It's something 33 and 43 and 53, and it's something we all do at times. They got a promotion, really? Why not me? They got the Player of the Month award? What about me? Did they not notice the stats I put up on the hardwood last week? Really? Like no one paid attention to me? How'd they get that award? Oh, your kid learned how to ride their bike with no training wheels. Oh, they're two. Wow. Mine's seven. Still can't. Wow, you're such great parents. Let me just give you the Parent of the Year award. Right? When we covet, we get focused on what others have that we don't, and so we can't celebrate them. You might be coveting if you cannot celebrate the wins of others. I wish the Lord would just help us to be in a place of where when something goes right for someone else, we just go, man, I'm so excited for them. Lord, that's awesome how you have blessed them. Let me give another one. You might be coveting if you're in constant contention with others. So when we stop being content with what we have, it leads to contention with others. Now, just so we understand what I mean by contention here, okay? Let me give you an example. The Bears and Packers play tonight. Okay, you probably knew I was going there. The Bears somehow are still in contention. This is just a small hope there. Still in contention for a playoff spot. Now, those hopes will probably be laid to rest tonight after they play the Packers, but they're in contention, which means they're fighting for a place. They're battling to stay in it. So contention means battling, struggling, fighting. This is what I mean when I say contention with others. And here's why I say that. Look at what James said in the Bible. He said, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill." Coveting can lead to murder. Then he says, "You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight." You get what he's saying here? Coveting leads to contention with others. I would say it this way. Let me give you three big C words here. Covetousness leads us out of contentment and into contention with others. I'm going to say that again. That's a couple big words. Covetousness leads us out of contentment and into contention with others. So if you find you're constantly fighting, warring, quarreling with others, or maybe you know, sometimes in your, you might not do this outwardly, but in your heart, you get around people and you just can't stand them. It might be worth considering whether covetousness has a grip on your heart. I want you to think about our country. You know, I think James would make the case that the quarreling and fighting, it might not be the only reason, but one of the reasons that quarreling and fighting goes on in a country is because it has a root in covetousness. We want what others have, so we fight and we quarrel. You know, I believe, this is kind of my personal belief, I believe that one of the reasons there's such a focus on tearing down people who we consider to be rich in our country is because it has a root in covetousness. We don't like that they have and we don't. Now let's be honest, all of us in this country are rich compared to the rest of the world. But there are some who have more than others, right? And so sometimes what we do is we focus on how do we make sure we bring this person down a notch because we don't like it. Instead of examining this person has more than, you know, than this person, instead of saying that, how about we focus and say, let's make sure this person over here, instead of comparing, let's make sure they have opportunities for skill advancement, jobs, you know, opportunities, things like this, and, you know, advancement. But when we covet, it just keeps us focused on, well, this person has this and this person doesn't, so we got to bring you down a notch. I think that has a root. The root of that is covetousness. When we covet, it leads to contention with others. Let me give you one more. You might be coveting if you're frequently complaining about your home, spouse, possessions, or life. Again, make no mistake, when we're coveting, it not only causes us to focus on what others have, but also complain about what we have. You know, my parents downsized about a year ago, and where they're moving, they're gonna have, you know, a lawn service that takes care of their lawn. And my dad's looking forward to the day where he never take care of mowing the lawn or shoveling snow again. And so when they moved, he graciously, they had no longer have a need for a mower, so he graciously kind of just downstreamed his old riding mower to me. And I was excited. I'm like, thank you, this is awesome, because I never had a riding mower before. So I got my dad's old riding mower, and one day this summer, I was out mowing the side yard of my house, just the side yard. Okay, so I'm riding along on the riding mower, and you know, you get to the end, and it's one of those things where you got to do the old three-point turn around, so you kind of turn it, okay, back up, turn again, okay, go. And so I'm mowing the side yard, and as I'm mowing, I look out, and my neighbor comes out to mow his lawn. And he hops on his zero turn. And I kid you not, he has a pretty good-sized lawn. He finished mowing his entire lawn before I finished mowing the side yard of my house. And when I saw that, I just started laughing. I was just like, wow, really? His entire lawn? I've even joked with him about it. You know, he attends here. Now, I can honestly say I didn't start coveting his zero turn. But it would have been easy for me to start looking at my mower and saying, man, my mower's, this thing's a piece of trash. 3-point turns every time. Man, this thing's a piece. How did I get stuck with this? Look at him just zipping around, turning on a dime and saving time. And I'm over here, I haven't even finished my side yard yet. The mower's trash, right? It could have easily turned into complaining and grumbling about what I had. And see, this is what happens often. Complaining about what we have is a result of coveting what someone else has. So you might be coveting if you are frequently complaining about your home, spouse, possessions, or life. Is this an issue for any of us? Go ahead and just put up your hand if it's an issue for you. No, I'm just joking. You don't have to do that. I did that first. There was a few people put up their hand. But listen, all of us could probably put up our hand and say, you know what, at one time or another, this has been something we've dealt with. I think if we're honest, this is one that can creep up on all of us, and this is one that makes us realize the condition of our heart at times. You know, going through these Ten Commandments, it's made me realize how much I need Jesus, because without him, I've probably broken every single one of them. And we need Jesus. So we've talked about how to know if covetousness has infected our heart. Now let's talk about the antidote to coveting. Why don't you look at how Hebrews 13:5 is worded in the New King James. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Okay, so we get that. We've just talked about that. But you might ask the question, okay, well, how do I do that? Well, it goes on. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can be content because we have everything we need in God. But so what's the antidote to covetousness? It's contentment. Being content with what you have. Another place, Paul speaking to Timothy about false teachers who were using religion as a means for financial gain. And they were, in essence, coveting the money of others. Coveting is always about gaining more. But look what Paul says. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment is the opposite of covetousness, but also here, there is great gain in contentment. You will gain more through godliness and contentment than you ever will through covetousness. You will find more peace, you will find more joy, you will find more blessing being content with what you have than you ever will coveting and chasing after things to try to fill that appetite of more. So contentment is the antidote to covetousness. So now if we know this to be true, in the few minutes we have left here, let's talk about how we develop a heart of contentment. How we develop a heart of contentment. Let me just give you three habits this morning. Habit number one is seek the giver, not the gift. Seek the giver, not the gift. You know, as we head into Christmas, we think a lot about gifts. But I want to encourage you to be thinking about the giver. God is the one who gives all good things. But when covetousness grips our heart, we begin to fall in love with the gifts instead of the giver. For example, sex is a gift from God. But what happens is people fall in love with the gift and chase that. Finances, financial resources are a gift, but yet we fall in love with finances and pursue that. When coveting takes over, we end up being all about the gifts because we think that the life we want is directly tied to them. We want to gain a position, a possession, power, a house, a spouse. We think if only I could gain more, I'd be happy. You know, I recently came across someone who put a new spin on the Lord's Prayer to kind of capture the spirit of today. I thought this was good. You know, the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, thy kingdom come, you know, on earth as it is in heaven. You know, give us day our daily bread, right? You know the Lord's Prayer, okay? So here's how they changed it. I thought this was good. Our dollar who art invested, hallowed be our capital gains. Thy dividends come, thy compounding be done in stocks as it is in bonds. Give us this day our daily interest and forgive us our debts as we have not forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into recession, but deliver us from double-digit inflation. You can say amen to that. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for now. Amen. That's true. We're all about gaining more, but here's the truth. I think all of us need to hear this. And especially as we head into Christmas, I don't know about you, but I've just started getting like magazines and ads in my mailbox. A lot of them are for my kids to help them discover all the toys they never knew about that now they need. But we do this as adults too. We get all these things like, oh, I never even realized that was out there. Yeah, I need that too. And I think it's helpful to remember, I love how pastor and author John Stott said it, covetousness is a self-destructive passion, a craving which is never satisfied even when what has been craved is now possessed. So you get what he's saying. If you can't be content now with what you have, you will not be content when you get what you think will make you content. Be content now. Coveting causes us to chase after the gift instead of the giver because we think if we get the gift, then we'll live the life. In the book of Luke, we hear the story of two brothers who had inherited a sum of money, and supposedly one of them wouldn't divide it with the other one, so one of the brothers comes to Jesus and says in Luke 12, 13 through 15, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." In other words, Jesus is saying the reason you're fighting, quarreling over this inheritance is because covetousness has gripped your heart. And you think that life is going to be found in the abundance of possessions, the gifts, gaining more, but it's not found there. Okay, well, if it's not found there, the question is, okay, where is it found? I think Jesus is saying that true life is found in him. Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the giver of life. See, the way to develop a heart of contentment is to make the primary focus of your life, not the gifts, but the giver of all good gifts. And listen, when you have the giver, God, you have everything. That's why David could say in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I have everything I need in God. In fact, David said in Psalm 103, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. And I love this line, who satisfies your desires with good things. You don't have to chase after things to try to satisfy your desires. You just focus on seeking God. He will satisfy your desires with good things. Pursue the giver, not the gifts. You get him, you get everything. You don't have him, you have nothing. Habit number two, focus on giving instead of getting. Focus on giving instead of getting. We've talked about this. Coveting is all about more. And so part of the way to develop a heart of contentment is to give instead of get. In fact, right after Jesus said, be on your guard against all covetousness, he told a parable. It's the parable of the rich fool. He told a story about a man who had a large harvest. He had more than what he knew what to do with. So he decided, I'm going to store my surplus. I'm going to keep it all here for me so that I can take it easy and enjoy life. So he tore down his barns and built bigger ones. But that very night, the man died and everything he had was left behind. And look at what Jesus says. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. So I think there's a sense he's saying, why store up things here on earth? Because you know what? When your time comes, none of that goes with you. It all stays here. And it gets passed on to someone else. But if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you know that this is not your home. So why not store things up in heaven where you're going to? Store treasure up in heaven. But I think it's interesting that he told that parable on the backside of talking to someone whose heart was gripped by covetousness. A heart of contentment is one that is rich towards God, one that gives. I love how an old preacher said it. Money is not only meant to be enjoyed, but it's meant to be employed, meaning we employ it to advance the kingdom of God and bless others that the Lord puts in our path. So think of it this way. This has always been a helpful picture to me. If you think about a clenched fist, when you hold on to what you have like this, it's really a picture of the grip that covetousness has on your heart. But when you hold what you have like this, and you give freely from what God has blessed you with, well, now what happens? It has broken the grip that coveting has on your heart. So focus on giving instead of getting, and then habit number three, be grateful, not a grumbler. This week I was reading through several different passages in the Bible where coveting is mentioned, and I was reminded of Ephesians 5, 3 through 4, which says, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead of all these things I just listed, let there be thanksgiving. I want you to see the connection between coveting and thankfulness, or we could say being grateful. I think there's an inverse relationship between them. As coveting grows, as I covet, gratefulness shrinks. Why? Because coveting is all about, it's self-centered. Gratefulness is God-centered. In fact, I think that coveting is really, and I think the Bible shows us this, the fruit of an ungrateful heart. Coveting is the fruit of an ungrateful heart. So another way to develop a heart of contentment is to be grateful for what God has blessed you with. being thankful for what you do have. And one area that God has reminded me to be thankful for is to be thankful for the season of life I'm in right now. So many times, I think we can all struggle with this at times, we look ahead to the next season of life as if like, okay, things will be a lot better in the next season of life. So if I can just get through this, it's gonna be a lot better when I get there. You know, my kids do this. They're all, you know, with their birthdays and how old they are. 6 is always better than 5. 4 is always better than 3. And so my wife kind of always gives them these little things they could say, like for Ariana this year, it's fun at 5. Let's stop worrying about being 6. Let's enjoy being 5. Let's be thankful for where you are right now. 6 will come, but let's enjoy where we are right now. And so kids do this, but I think also we do this at times. We long for the next season, but the Lord has been teaching me to be thankful for this season. Now, let me just preface the story I'm about to tell you by saying, I love my children to death. Okay, I love them. They're a blessing from God. But sometimes, just sometimes, I can begin to wish and long for the days when they are a little bit older. We have 5, 3, and 1. Okay, they require a lot of attention, especially the one-year-old. And about a month back, I was giving our one-year-old Aaron a bath. He was sick. He was all congested, snotty, coughing all over the place. And I hate it when our kids are sick. Like, I don't know about you if you're a parent. I hate it. I hate it for them. And, you know, one of the things I look forward to most about heaven is there'll be no more sickness in heaven. You can say amen to that. But I'm bathing Aaron, and I'm thinking, man, I love you, but I can't wait till the day you can bathe yourself, wash your own butt, clothe yourself. And I look forward to the day when children don't cough in my face. And there's been times where my daughters have been sick before, and I'm like helping my wife by combing their hair, and I'm down here like face level with them, and I'm talking, and they just go, bleh, and just cough. I'm like, you just coughed in my mouth. Like, cover that thing. And so I'm wrapping him up in the towel after the bath, getting ready to carry him to his room. And I remember he looked up at me and he said, Dada. Now, he said that before. But in that moment, it brought tears to my eyes. And if it was as if God just spoke to my heart and said, John, the next season of life, yeah, it might be different. There might be things that you enjoy about it. But be thankful for the season you're in right now. Like, if you have the eyes to see it, this is it right here. Like, you're living right now. The dream isn't out there. The dream is right now. Be thankful for this season because it will be past before you know it. And someday, you might not think it, but you're going to look back on this and wish you could do it again. And I'm holding my kid and I started tearing up and I start saying, God, thank you for how you've blessed me in this season. You have blessed me beyond measure. You know, the dream isn't out there. This is it. I don't know that it gets better than right now. And it completely changed my outlook and my attitude. In fact, any anxiety I had about him getting better or him passing it on to our girls, right? I'm telling you, as I begin to just thank God for that moment, anxiety gone. As I began thanking the Lord and counting all the ways he had blessed me, it brought peace to my heart. That's what a heart of contentment is. It's a heart at peace. And I'm telling you, thankfulness will do the same for you if you will learn to thank God for what you do have and the season you are in now. And I was thinking about this last night. You know, I think so many of us, 2020, 2021, as we've kind of been in the midst of all the, you know, this pandemic, things going on, I think it's been easy for us to look out ahead at the next season and say, well, when we get past all of this, when this goes away, who knows if it ever will, but when we get past all of this, then like, things will be good and I can get back to life and enjoying life. And so when we get there and we get so focused on what's ahead that we have forgotten that right now In this moment, God has blessed every single one of us, and there are many things that we can be thankful for right now. We don't have to wait till we're on the other side to be thankful. We can be thankful right now. He's a good God, and he has blessed us right now. What do you need to be thankful for? Might be helpful even this week to just begin writing out all the things that you're thankful for and just developing that grateful heart. And I'm telling you, you'll find that there is peace and there is joy found when we are content with what the Lord has given us and we're grateful for. And so you can stand as we close. We're going to pray together. And as we close, I was thinking about the passage where Jesus talked about we don't have to worry. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? And he said, you know, you chase after clothes, food, you know, and he said, the pagans run after all these things. I want you to know, we're not pagans. We don't have to run after things to try to satisfy our desires. Because it says, but your Father in heaven, he knows what you need. Do you trust him that he knows what you need today? He knows exactly what you need. And so we don't have to covet. We can be content with what we have. Our Father will provide. And as I think about the Ten Commandments as a whole, I've heard it said before, sometimes we think the Ten Commandments, as we've gone through this, is all about this is how we make God happy. But I want you to hear this. No, I think God has given us these Ten Commandments because this is, as you follow these, this is what leads to happiness in your life. I gave these for you. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word, which is perfect. And Lord, I'm just so aware again of my need, and I think all of us are, our need for Jesus as we look at the Ten Commandments. Thank you for how you have forgiven us, Lord, and how you empower us to live in the way you designed. And Holy Spirit, I pray right now as we talk about coveting that you would speak a word into each of our hearts and that maybe we know today that you're our provider, you will take care of our needs. But Holy Spirit, I pray you would speak that into each of our hearts, that we can trust you to care for our every need. You gave yourself the name, Lord, in the Bible, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. I thank you that you will provide for our every need, and we don't have to run after things, chase after things. We can rest in you because you are our provider. I pray you'd speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Empower us to live the way you designed. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, church. Listen, if you need prayer for anything this morning, the prayer team will be down front. We'd love to pray with you. And I hope you have a great week, and we'll hope to see you at one of the Christmas shows coming up. It starts the 17th. Have a great week. Northwoods Online, great to have you tuning in with us. And again, Christmas production starts on the 17th. I know some of you maybe live a greater distance away than others, but I would really encourage you, if you get a chance, to come on out for one of the Christmas shows. We would love to see you here, and I promise you, you will be blessed by it. Have a great week.
All right. Well, that was an awesome message. And we are finished with the 10 keys to the life you've always wanted.
That's
now
it.
You know you have all the keys to have the life you've always wanted.
The one you've always
wanted.
It's
so good. It's so good. Honestly, all joking aside, I have really, really loved this series.
Yeah.
And it's just good to kind of dig into the Old Testament and dig into some of these things that I don't always know what the application is in my day-to-day life. So
especially some of the ones that we hit, like talking about murder. I'm like, I've never murdered anybody. How does this apply to me?
Right.
And I think our pastors have just done such a great job of taking those and giving us tangible steps to take it the one step further and really help us just to be able to walk in the life that
a freedom that God wanted to give to us, He's given to us. So it's been so great.
Yeah. So we just want to remind you guys that the Christmas production starts this week.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. So exciting. We are ready for the Christmas spirit around here. So there are still tickets available. Grab those if you don't have them already. Or again, be on the lookout for when we are having our online premiere and you can watch the show online, bring some friends, family, whoever into your home, share it with them. Maybe even just text the video to a friend, somebody who would enjoy it. It is a great way to kick off and celebrate the Christmas season.
And then lastly too, don't forget, December 26th, we've got a special service for all of our Northwoods family to join at home from their jammies. You can even bring your dog to this one, all right? I know mine's gonna be sitting right here next to me.
I think that's my favorite part.
Yeah, obviously, right? If you have cats, that's okay too. We still love you. You can bring them along and they'd love to join the service, I'm sure. But make sure that you are joining us online during our normal service times to check out that service. We've got an awesome message prepared for you from Pastor John.
Yeah, it's going to be so good. And then after that, we'll be right into January with the fast. You'll be hearing more information about that, but we'll be kicking that off right away on January 2nd.
Yeah, so make sure that you're thinking through now and even praying through what that might look like for you. Or if there's specific things that you have on your heart that you've just been praying for a long time, this is an awesome opportunity just to be able to really dig into those. And I believe that God's going to do some awesome things through our fast.
I love hearing those stories. It's so good. Awesome. Well, we hope that you guys do have a Merry Christmas. Enjoy the production. Enjoy time with your family. We will see you later.